enjoyed that very much. Thanks again. Apparently tonight, I haven't seen it, but I did record it. There was a program called Flynnesty, I presume about Padraig and Beverley. And it reminded me of something I penned long ago about the two. It's called The Woes of P and B. The Flynnesty dynasty holds us in thrall. Padraig and Beverley always walked tall. P proudly proclaimed B to be a class act, but revealed to Gay Byrne the things that he lacked. As commissioner in Europe, he should cut a dash, and running three households had needed hard cash. Yet when Tom Gilmartin was mentioned by Gay, P denied he was given that sly 50k. When called on to give an account to the Doyle, Bev voted for Dad, going against Fianna Fáil. And so we move on to the Bev versus the Bird. Charlie told of the tax cheating that had occurred. Brassy Bev made it clear that she'd done nothing wrong, just like Little Red Riding Hood skipping along. Those tax-cheating wolves had caught her offside. Undeterred, she had taken the flak in her stride. She sued RTE, who destroyed her good name. If her clients had hot money, she wasn't to blame. But Judge Frederick Morris refused to agree. Despite her entreaties, he turned down her plea. She launched an appeal and went off to the Sun. The Supreme Court would surely not see her undone. Bev wasn't in court when the verdict was read. She and Dad were in Portugal golfing instead. Imagine her shock when she lost her appeal. The 2.8 million fine made her head reel. That's what she would forfeit for being so rash. She swore she would never come up with the cash. Since then, she's been forced to drop 41 grand. The poor thing is flint-skint and can't make a stand.
Next up, can you please welcome Niall O'Herty?
This is called A Magic Little Virus. You may have heard it here before, but I've just reworked it. Unfortunately, it's still doggerel. A Magic Little Virus. Symptoms undermining the world order, scattered throughout every nation. Frequent overwhelming episodes of simple appreciation. A loss of ability to worry. This is the most serious symptom. A feeling of identification with the plants and the animal kingdom. An ever-increasing tendency to savor every minute. I read my writing. Strange, unsettling feelings that reality has no limit. A proneness to spontaneity, rather than acting on fears, based on past experience and the influence of years. Be aware of these symptoms, of a loss of fear and hate. The hearts of many people have been infected with this state. Many more of us could start to catch this new condition, thus posing a serious threat which will arouse authority suspicion. A threat to the human situation. Absorbed sometime after birth. Sorry about this. Of mistrust and separation and conflict on this sad old earth.
Thanks so much, Niall. Next up we have Sue Blue.
doesn't matter. Whichever. Right, I'm currently working on a few translations of older poetry. The original of this poem was written in March 1999. And I'll give you both versions. I'm going to hear the German version and its brand new translation. Über Ewigkeit. Ich habe den Himmel von oben gesehen. Da geht die Welt in Zeitlupe. Vollkommen blau und durch. Und die Wolken machen eine neue Eiszeit unter der Sonne. Auf der Erde strebt alles seiner Straßen. Es kreucht und jagt und immer geradeaus gewinnt nicht Land noch Zeit. Und das Meer ist, soweit der Himmel reicht, wo sie sich berühren, bleibt alles stehen und still. Und nur die Doppelbödigkeit der Wolken hält das, was ist und war, und trägt, was bleibt, auf Schultern, trägt den Himmel und das Wasser und den Stein. About eternity. I saw the sky from above. The world goes in slow motion there, entirely blue and through, and the clouds make a new ice age under the sun. On earth, everything pursues its route. It creeps and hounds forever forward, does not gain land nor time. And the ocean spans and spars the skies. Where they touch, everything stands still. And alone, the double-layered clouds hold what is and was, and bear what lasts on shoulders. Bear the sky and the water and the rock.
Thanks very much, Walter. Please, next up is Patricia Walsh. Hi, gentlemen. And this one's called Aerogram. I don't know if you may know what an aerogram is. It's kind of like a self-contained, you just write it, you fold it up, and you kind of end up in his own right. So, addressed to you from a loving cup we could not drink from in the library. So what's the big deal, my dear sweet? I love you for a while, let's steal, or however. Now that you've disappeared from body and from sight long before, you're no cause of pain. You restore my faith in nothing after all. Your point was on the needle, slow and numbing, but flattened and aggravated it. You're a type, not a stereotype. I have to mourn for I either, but yours don't predict me either way. So let me go home and I'll leave you alone. My first debate is the fourth year. Shall I take you a drink at breaks before Milroy's dancing deeply with your friend? Will I remake my mistakes? Make your choice. If just a lone head, remain with the boys. Thank you, Tricia. Next up, please welcome Mary Brennan.
Thanks to the boss, to make that really good. These two things I scribbled out yesterday. I'm sounding really bitter, so apologies. I was open, I was trusting, and you stole in and broke my things. My home is a nervous place now, guarded and rigid, tender and bruised. Why, when one gives, don't they receive the same? Is the yin-yang a false dichotomy? Or is the world not composed of circles? Does what goes around not come around? Yet you were like a tangent, a missile fired at a weak, well-natured frontier. And under the guise of a similar being, you killed my greeting party, poisoned my will and faith. You undid the ripening of this fruit. I reconnect with the green, the hard and bitter. And so a curse on those like you, who do as Shakespeare said, win us with honest trifles to betray us in deepest consequence. And then this is the well-known path to peace or not. It's just about me travelling alone, kind of in search of peace, and I didn't really find it because I went to wrong place. I travelled alone, Mzungu solo, yet was never just one in the great human flow. There were Belgians and Swedes, Swahili men too, but none so present as that entity you. The voice that never left me, the running commentary, companion for free or nuisance gratuit. I did not find the peace I sought. Instead, I was kind, busied with thought. You rose more issues than problems you solved, but perhaps my shoes walked where they belonged. Out of the hellfire, though not swimming in the sea, the white flag liar, as the struggle still there be. Oh, peace, don't elude me, don't always be too far. True colours of thee, let me see what they are. You dangle your carrot before one too eager, in the rush for a carrot of the gold you might leave her, of the gold you bequeath her. So, our long time or silence not on your path, then please, for my penance, reveal where you're at.
White flag liar, that's a great line. And next up, we have a treat, John W. Sexton, all the way from, is it Kerry? And I keep mixing up with West Cork and Kerry. Okay. please welcome John W. Sexton.
I'm just going to read the one. It's a request. I don't often get requests. That's why I'm reading it. I'm stunned by it. I've only read this poem, actually, because it's never been requested before, twice. Well, I've actually read it once. This is the second time I've read it in 6 years. God, isn't it nice to be requested? If I can find it. It's here somewhere, but I will find it. I had it. I had the page open. And then the page got lost. This is a very simple ballad, when I can find it, about the sea. There's also an explanation for this poem, but explanations are the ruination of poetry, so you're only getting the poem. Eventually, you'll get it. It's on page 55. Which, when this is requested in another 5 years' time, I will have totally forgotten. It's called Seven Eyes, Nine Eyes, 12. Lamprey mouthed the language of scars, seven eyes, nine eyes, 12. Tissued flesh, their face of knives, seven eyes, nine eyes, 12. Lamps race out their coinage of stars, seven eyes, nine eyes, 12. Lighthouse Cyclops sheds its tears, seven eyes, nine eyes, 12. Lamps spray forth their carnage of shards, seven eyes, nine eyes, 12. Ships pass down through fathomless years, seven eyes, nine eyes, 12.